It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, we are in the book of Mark, chapter 14. Last week we finished up to 52 verses. We are going to start from verse 53.
And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes.
Now here we see they took Jesus direct to the high priest, they say. And how many people, what kind of people were assembled? It says chief priests, elders, and the scribe. They are all religious people. They are trying to find some fault in Jesus Christ so they can put death penalty. That's what this idea was. And can you imagine, they have the Passover feast coming, the religious holiday is coming, and all these priests, chief priests, elders and scribe thinking about doing something wrong and don't even feeling guilty. Verse 54.
And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priests, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire.
Now here we see that Peter followed, but he was not too close, going from far away, keeping eye on Jesus, what's happening, and he comes to even the high priest's palace. St. John says, when he comes to the high priest's palace, there was a gatekeeper. And John had some kind of influence with the high priest, or some kind of, maybe he knew somebody there. So he might have said to the lady, gatekeeper, let me go. So she let him go. But Peter didn't have anybody known to him, so he stood outside. Let's go and read that in St. John chapter 18, verse 16.
But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter.
The doorkeeper was not allowing Peter to come in. But somehow, John had some influence, and he brought him in. When he brought him in, I don't think Peter and John, they stood together. John might have went to somewhere close, but Peter was a little bit still far, and they said the people were warming themselves, so Peter also stood there and warming himself. And see what happens, verse 55.
And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none.
Chief priest, they had all these people called spies going after Jesus and finding out what fault they can find. So now they are looking for the people this many years, at least 2 or 3 years. You were going here and there and listening to Jesus. We want some witness. But the word of God said they could not find one. They didn't have one witness coming and saying, we said, now they have to force somebody. Now here he says, there is none, no witness. They had no witness. That means they could not find willingly somebody can come and say something against Jesus. Now today also we see, if they don't find witness, they can bribe somebody, give some money, and say, this is what you say. And if that person, you know, he's doing for the money, so he said, okay, I'll do whatever you say, I'll do it. And now here we see, they could not find any witness, so see what happened. Verse 56.
For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together.
Now, here says there was no witness. Now they find out, hey, somebody should say something. So now many witnesses came. And they start saying anything they want to say to just make Jesus guilty. But I don't know if there was any judge, but anybody says something, just think somebody says, Jesus says something else. And somebody says, oh, no, no, he didn't say that. He said this. So in between them, they had no unity. And so their unity didn't work, and the witnesses were false, so they didn't know what to do. Now here some wise guy comes and tried to give another witness. Verse 57.
And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.
See now, when this guy, I don't know his name, they didn't give his name, certain person, now he says, I heard him saying. But from his talk, I don't think he heard him saying. He just heard from somebody else. He did not have the eyewitness news, or he did not have anything solid proof what Jesus really said. So he's just saying, I heard him saying, I will destroy this temple, and within 3 days, I will build another temple made without hands. So he is adding something and saying something that Jesus didn't say it. Jesus never said, I'm going to destroy this temple, and I'm going to rebuild this temple, and I'm going to rebuild without hands. So he's trying to say, he's going to do some kind of magic or something. And he would just say, the temple be there and temple will come. Jesus had power. He could do if he wants to. But he didn't say that. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when he created all the universe, he just spoke the word and everything came in existence. So Jesus could say and can happen. But Jesus did not say this. Now just think what Jesus Christ was saying. Let's go to the St. John chapter 2, verse 19 and to 21.
Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Now, he was talking to the people and the disciples were listening. So, if he was saying, destroy this temple, putting hand on his own body, destroy this temple, and within 3 days, I will raise this temple up. Now he was talking this temple. How do you know? Read the following verse.
Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body.
See, here is a clear, he was talking about the temple of his body. So we know as a Christian, the Word of God says we are the temple of the living God, and God lives in this temple. So he was talking to his disciples and he says, this temple, this body, I will raise after 3 days. And those people asked the question, well, how can you do this? But this time he just talked in a parable. These people did not understand. But the false witness comes and says, I heard him saying, I will destroy this temple, which is made with hands, and within 3 days, I will build another temple, another made without hands. Did you see in that scripture? No. He did not say this. He just said this temple. He did not use the word with hands, without hands. He never used that word. So, his witness was false witness. And if you read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the false witness is prohibited. Means if you do false witness, is a crime or breaking the commandment of God.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Now, this is the one of the commandments. You should not doing the false witness. Now, who are those people sitting there, as I said earlier? Priests, elders, and scribes. They are all knowledgeable about the Bible. They are encouraging these people to give false witness. They are trying to tell these people, say something lie, give the false witness. We want to make this person guilty. And that's what they were doing. Breaking their own law to kill Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Mark. Okay, verse 14:59.
But neither so did their witness agree together.
Okay, even though they got a false witness, first of all, they didn't have the witness. Then they got some false witness. One person gave the witness, and his witness also did not match. And now somebody, historian, wrote what Jesus said, exactly words, building which is made by hands, and I'm going to make another building without hands. He didn't say it. And so this witness was condemned. And so their witness has no agreement together. Verse 60.
And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?
When high priest asked Jesus the question, Jesus knew everything that these people are lying. These are the false witnesses. And false witness is prohibited in the Word of God. So he could lecture them and tell them, why you people encouraging you people doing false witness, breaking the Ten Commandments, breaking the law of God, and accuse those people. He had a good chance. But the Word of God says, verse 61, but he held his peace.
But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
Okay, now here when they were giving false witness, making him angry, but he held his peace. From that we have to learn something. Sometimes people try to irritate you, make you angry, try to find out how long you're going to hold your peace, and they make you miserable, and finally we just give up and start acting like I'm going to shut these people's mouth. But Jesus held his peace. Even though he had good points, he didn't say anything. The high priest simply asked the question, what do you think about those witnesses? He could simply say they are wrong. You are encouraging them. They are wrong and it is not right. And he could defend himself. But he did not defend himself. He just let it go and kept the peace. Now the high priest asking another question. He could not keep quiet on this question. These questions was personal questions to Jesus Christ. He says, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And those days they did not even want to talk to God or God the Father or Jehovah. Jesus says, Son of the Blessed. Jesus understood what they are talking about. Jesus knew that they are asking, I am the Christ, or I am the Son of God, or did I come from my Father? These are the questions they asked. So, if he kept quiet, they will understand, well, he is not a Son of God. He is not a Christ. That's why he is keeping quiet. He just gave them the answer. Verse 62.
And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Now here Jesus says, I am. So our God is all present God. It's not like he was. Jesus is always. So whenever we have need, we can use this word, I am. I am your provider, I am the answer, I am whatever you need, I am. So whatever you need, Jesus Christ is the answer for our problems. So he says here, I am the one you're talking about. So he said two different things. He said, you're going to see me sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then when I come back on earth, I'll come in the cloud, and that he's talking about the coming for the 1,000-year reigns. He said, you are going to see it. So he was sitting on the throne with Father, but when they start stoning Stephen, he stood there to welcome his spirit. And so that Jesus Christ was sitting at the right hand of the Father. And coming with a cloud, that didn't happen yet, but it's going to happen. And so when he said these things, these people got so much angry, they didn't know what to do. Read the verse 63.
Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses?"
Now, when the high priest rent his clothes, the priest making himself naked, that means he is so angry. And so he wanted to curse Jesus Christ whatever way he can. But he just said, "This is so blasphemy, we do not need any more witnesses." For this blasphemy, they are saying he is guilty for the death penalty. Read verse following.
"Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death.
Who are those people condemning as a guilty man? Priests, high priest, elders, and scribe. All these religious people sitting there. And Jesus did not say anything blasphemy. You know what blasphemy means? Saying something against God. Saying something against Holy Spirit. Saying something against their temple or whatever. He did not say anything bad about anybody. He simply said the truth. Because he was always telling, "I'm coming from my Father, and I did not do anything without my Father. And everything he is doing, what Father said." And so he did not say this is first time. He said this thing many, many times, and they heard it. But now they don't have any excuse. So they said, "This is blasphemy. We have to condemn him to death." Verse 65.
"And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, 'Prophesy.' And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands."
Now can you imagine? All dignified people, priests, high priests, elders, and the scribes. All those people sitting there, and they're allowing the ordinary people to kick him, to beat him, to spit on him. And I don't think their law will allow them, even today. Police are not allowed to beat the criminal until they find him guilty. And if they do something like that, then the police loses their jobs, even the 21st century. And so this is all what they're doing against the law, against the religious activity, and they're acting like these people are not even religious. They're hitting him. They're spitting on him. They're telling him, "Do prophecy." And they're hitting with their hands. And Jesus Christ is like a helpless. The word of God says, like a sheep going for the slaughter. Not saying a word. He's keeping quiet. 66.
"And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, 'And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth.'"
Now, this is the same girl who allowed him to come in when John told him to let this man come. And I think she was keeping eye on him like a spy, because she is hired by the high priest. So she is the high priest's servant. So she is doing a favor to high priest that she wanted to do not only Jesus Christ to be crucified, but she wants as many as people they can find guilty, they can punish them. So she was watching this Peter. John says, "Let him come," so she let him come, but she followed him when he was warming, and she's staring at him, looking at him. Just think the Peter, what Peter might be thinking. Peter might be thinking, you know, this is the girl who was not allowing me to come in. And now when I came in, John already left. She's looking at me. She's staring at me. And not only staring, she comes close and she's telling other people, "Do you know? this man was with Jesus. He was so much angry, he would have said something to this girl, but let's read the words. He just denied Christ. Verse 68.
But he denied, saying, I know not, and neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew.
Now, this is the first time he denied Jesus Christ. Now he goes into the porch, and this is now morning. They're watching all this night. Now the morning come. These people might be tired. Jesus already getting beating, and he's bubbling inside. He didn't know what to do. And here the morning comes, and the rooster crows, and he already denied Jesus Christ. Verse 69.
And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.
Now, here, this lady, twice she said, and this is the third time she coming after him, and she is saying, This is the man was with Jesus Christ. And the St. John's Gospel, even that man who Peter cut his ear, he comes and he says to Peter, Didn't I see you in that garden? He didn't say to him, Didn't you cut my ear? But he said, I saw you in the garden, and Peter is the one who cut his ear. So Peter recognized him. And so all these major people, this girl could not do anything, but she's influencing to other people and saying, This is the man, this is the man. And Peter start denying. Then the servant whose ear was cut, he comes and he gives some testimony. And then finally all people gather together in a group and start telling him, You know what? Your language tells me that you are with Jesus, because these people were coming from Galilee. And so just like somebody comes from south, and we are in Philadelphia, we know the Philadelphia language and southern language. All of a sudden somebody says, Don't you speak a southern language? You're not from Philadelphia. So he cannot deny certain language you learn and the pronunciation you learn from your childhood. It is difficult to change. So they caught him and they tried to say, You are the man. Your pronunciations are different. We figured it out. You are with him. Now in the Bible, it doesn't say what actually Peter said, but he says, read the verse 71.
But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak.
Now he says cursing. We don't know what word he used for cursing. And swearing, we don't know what kind of swearing he was doing, but he was trying to convince these people, I don't know this man. And so when this thing happened, verse 72.
And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Now, all these people came against Peter. The girl came three times. The man whose ear was cut, he came. And the other people who were warming, they came. And other people who are saying, You are Galilean. And all these witnesses came. And Peter got so scared. And he forgot everything what Jesus said. And he denied him three times. And all of a sudden, the rooster again crows. So, but in movie, if you say the Christ movie and things like that, then Jesus looked at Peter when he denies. So the point I'm making, whatever Jesus Christ said, Peter's tried to make it that it will not happen, but did happen, right? What Jesus Christ says, the heaven and earth will pass away, but whatever the words he said it, it will not pass. So we cannot make a God a liar. Peter tried to defend himself, tried to do everything what he can do. But exactly what Jesus said, exactly happened. So what we're learning? When Christ gave us so many promises in the Bible. There are thousands of promises are there. We read all the time. But what we do, when we read it, and when we have a problem, we forget it. And so, when God said it, I believe it, and it will settle it. Whatever the Word of God says, it looks like a mountain right now. It looks like impossible, but God said it. Now, when we read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, two people agree on earth, touching anything, I will hear from heaven. How plainly it is, right? But when we have a problem, how many people say, hey, listen, if this verse says like this, could you please pray with me and agree with me so this thing can happen? People don't believe it. They don't believe what the Word of God says. There are so many promises. When the Word of God says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we have a need, we don't sit there and say, quote these scriptures to God. Lord, you said this. So why can you fulfill this promise in my life? Why I have to go to somebody asking for help? Why don't you help me? God says, you know, when we start doing the Lord's work, He remembers His promises. That's why He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then other things will be added unto you. It is not coming automatically, but if you are a godly person, and if you are living godly life, you are not fighting, you are not quarreling, you are not demanding anything, and so God will say, okay, you are faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. Do you know that story? Somebody made it up, or maybe real story. The old lady sitting there hungry and praying to God, God, I'm hungry, give me some loaf of bread. Now, this lady may be very old, maybe not able to walk, not able to go to shopping, but she's just praying. And the children playing outside heard the lady praying. They said, we are going to make this lady a little bit miserable. And let's go for shopping. And they went to shopping and they got the bread and they threw it from the window where the lady was. And she took the bread and said, thank you, Lord, for giving the bread. You know what children start saying? Hey, God didn't give it to you. We give it to you. She said, well, God gave it to me. Maybe devil delivered it. But God used you to give me the bread. That's the way it is. Sometimes somebody sends you a money order, the postman gives to you. And people foolishly give postman $10 just to thank you for giving. He's not the one giving. He's doing his duty. If you are really in need, you don't give it to him anything. But sometimes, if you don't give it to the postman, they hold the money order in India for 3-4 weeks. If you don't give anything, they don't give it to you on time. That's why I'm saying we have to thank God.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.